tuning in to the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the AfterBuzz TV After Show special event coverage for the Oscars. We are being sung to by the winning song for Best Original Song, which is Remember Me from Coco. So we will talk about this song and so much more tonight. I'm your host. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Danny Golub, fellow co-host. Where can they find y'all?
Hey, everyone. I'm Lauren Pacheco, and you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Lauren T. Pacheco.
I love this song.
I love this song.
I do, too. It's so cute.
It's so sweet. You can find me on Instagram at Liza.Rubin.
Yeah, Liza and I saw this movie together. It was really emotional.
Sweet.
Mama Coco is a special woman.
This
film also won Best Animated Picture. So
it did. Well deserved.
Well deserved, truly. I thought Ferdinand, you know, was coming in hot, but Pixar always really does slay. They won with Inside Out two times ago.
Oh my God.
But I mean, they really just like only put out winners. So I was very excited that they won. I thought This Is Me maybe could have taken original song from The Greatest Showman. That was great when we sang that on the show a couple weeks ago, but you know, happy always to have Coco win. Let's start by talking about fashion. I was really, really excited to see so much color on the carpet because, you know, we had the Globes and everyone dressed in black for Time's Up. That was definitely made up for at the Oscars. We saw yellows, purples, reds, blues. Like, I honestly hardly saw black. I mean, we all saw a lot of white as well, but it felt super bright, which was a lot of fun.
Right.
First one we have to talk about is Iza Gonzalez, I believe is how you pronounce her name. Iza.
I think it's Aza, actually. Yeah.
Aza? Okay, whatever it was, if you didn't know her name before, you know it now, because this dress was one of the most talked about dresses of the night. She looked absolutely gorgeous in this yellow dress. What do you guys think about it?
I thought it was absolutely stunning, and paired with the coral lip, I thought was really good contrast. I mean, she's beautiful. She can't do anything wrong.
Yeah.
But it really reminds me of Jennifer Lawrence's Calvin Klein dress.
I was just going to say that.
That she wore a couple years ago to the Oscars. It's just so simple, but I mean, like, obviously it fits her like a glove. When she walked on, obviously, jaws dropped. I mean,
Liza and I were both there actually for work for different reasons.
For work.
No, but it really was so cool. Like seeing these gowns in person is night and day. Like some of the ones that were not getting so much praise online, I was like, yes, but you had to have seen it there. It's crazy. These gowns are like works of art. And like I was Margot Robbie's another one that we'll talk about now. Hers was the white dress with the beading. And apparently, like, hundreds of hours went into making this gown. And it was so fragile that on the carpet, things were falling off. And she was sewing it back herself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is crazy.
I believe this was custom Chanel.
She's so pretty.
It's beautiful. It's not my favorite
season. Which is interesting because we disagreed on, was it Globes? Or?
Oh, no, it was SAG.
SAG Awards.
That was my best look for her this award season. I mean, this is beautiful. She can do no wrong.
She can't wear anything poorly.
I don't know. Yeah. Not my favorite of her choices. Well, it's funny because we had Kristen Cavallari on our show. And on our countdown show beforehand, she divulged, she was like, you know, I have the same hairstylist, and apparently she's going to go shorter, and then she did, which obviously is so...
It looks beautiful, yeah.
It's beautiful. She could do no wrong, but
she really can't. And, like, wow, what an 11. Like, out of 10. Like, that woman is, like, so gorgeous inside
I thought you were talking
out.
About Millie Bobby Brown.
No. Oh, no, 11.
What
no,
an 11?
11 wasn't there. I'm saying 11, like, out of 10. Like, she literally is the most stunning human, and, yeah, looked real good. I mean, I loved this dress. I thought it was, like, really delicate and framed her body really nicely. And I liked the white, you know. I think we saw a little bit of Laura Dern wore white as well. Like, there was a lot of color.
She decided to carry a bag, too, which I think is kind of interesting.
It is.
They I don't like most it. People don't.
I wonder what was in it.
Yeah.
I know.
A kind bar.
Like lollipops.
Exactly.
Kale chips.
Yeah. So that's a fun game.
A tampon.
What does Margot Robbie
a flask, let's be real.
Like, where are their phones? Do they not have phones?
I know. No, I'm sure all their assistants just carry everything.
That's true. I mean, I really liked this look, but, you know, it's not it for everyone. One that was not getting a ton of attention, it was getting mixed reviews, was Lupita Nyong'o's. And it is because, I'm telling you, this is one of the ones where sequins have been kind of big all season, and they were still big at the Oscars. Like, her dress was sequin, Sandra Bullock was wearing sequins, Viola Davis was wearing sequins. Sequins, I do not think, photograph as well as they look in person. Like, the way that the light hits them is so much better, like, seeing her in person than it is even in this picture. Like, it looks cheap. But I'm telling you, it is spectacular, and she looked awesome. I really liked it. I mean, she looked like an Oscar.
She looks amazing. I'm not a big fan of the one shoulder. Like, it has to be an amazing outfit for me to like the one shoulder
asymmetrical
look.
Asymmetrical, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I think there's just too much with the sash going on or whatever that is.
Okay, so it was funny because we saw, well, not funny, but it was very timely because a lot of the cast of Black Panther arrived. Lupita, obviously, Chadwick Boseman. Lupita, for me, she takes these risks on the carpet. I mean, yeah, sometimes they're a little out there, but I think every single time she just hits it out of the park. I mean, look at her. She's glowing. Yeah, her skin tone's amazing. The dress matches perfectly with it. And I don't know if you know, but her hair is actually traditional Rwandan hairstyle.
Rwandan.
Yeah. I don't know. I love that she obviously, you know, went back to that and
embraced her culture. Yeah, Tiffany Haddish did that as well, which I thought was really cool. A lot of people like to incorporate that on the carpets. Another big star that everyone was talking about was Nicole Kidman. She was in Armani Privé, this blue dress with a big bow on the front. Usually you see bows on the back, so I thought it was pretty cool to see the bow on the front. She was a vision in blue. Like, she looked so good. And we're used to seeing her on the carpet with Keith Urban, and as upset as I was that Keith wasn't there, it was actually pretty cool to see her, like, on her own, empowered, wearing this bright blue dress. It's kind of, she always takes fashion risks as well, but this was one that just was such a hit for me, because sometimes hers are misses. I've seen her wear things that I'm like,
yeah,
I don't know.
She's definitely the queen of hit
risks,
and miss.
Yeah.
But it's funny you say Keith Urban, because I'm always like, oh, Nicole and Keith, but this time he was an afterthought. I was like, wow, Nicole. And then 5 minutes later, I was like, where's Keith?
Yeah.
And Nicole, my God.
Yeah.
She, I thought, was stunning in this. A lot of people had a problem with the bow. Here she's wearing this blue cobalt Armani Privé. I think she absolutely rocked it. And we were talking about this year, it was interesting because you had these people that weren't nominated, but they kind of stole the show anyway.
Yeah.
And I think Nicole Kidman really did that here. I mean, she had an amazing award season regardless, but
yeah, with Big Little Lies.
Yeah, she's a vision. Yeah.
When I first saw her, I forgot that she wasn't nominated because I was like, oh my gosh, she has come to win tonight. Like,
yeah, Taraji P. Henson was there as well, stole the show. Oh, Jennifer Lawrence wasn't nominated, was she? She was there.
She was not. She was there. Well, it was really sweet, actually. We had a stylist on our show, and he was saying that when Taraji was getting dressed, because she was there to support Mary J. Blige, she actually was the one who presented Mary J. When she was performing. And she was like, you know, I'm just there to support Mary J. Blige. So she kind of wanted to tone it down, but even she looked stunning still.
Yeah,
so,
I mean,
yeah, like we said, there was still this huge amount of support on the carpet for females, and all their friends came. It was, you know, they're posing together. It was still an amazing event where people could really voice their opinions and go together as one.
Yeah, there was a lot of Time's Up pins. There was a lot of ribbons for the anti-gun violence. There was a lot of statements being made that were unspoken statements more than spoken. I felt like a lot of the stars didn't necessarily want to talk about it anymore, but just were like wearing the pin or wearing the ribbon just to kind of stand in solidarity without having to really bring it up anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that the overall vibe of the carpet was pretty positive.
I agree.
It was really positive. Like, with the climate right now, with everything that's gone on, for the most part, most of the interviews that I heard and most of the ones I saw were across the board positive, and people were like, you know, pouring out like love and support to everyone rather than being like, you know, pointing fingers at specific people. And a dress that maybe wasn't talked about in the most positive way was Selma Hayek's. It's purple, full sequins, has like tiers across the bottom, and has blingy, blingy diamonds up on top. And this is one where I saw it in person, too, and I must say, it was not for me. Like, she's such a gorgeous woman with a beautiful figure, and I feel like this just totally drowned it out. And she is someone who I feel like I usually love her dresses, like, whether it's form-fitting or ball gown. This was a bit of a miss for me. Not much more to say. Like, and I know how expensive this dress probably is, but it still looked cheap to me. Like, I don't know what it was. Like, this is probably like,
there's just way too much going on.
Yeah, too much going on.
It's
okay.
Well, this was custom Gucci, and I mean, I wonder what that process is like, because obviously it's a collaboration between the designer
and it is
the celebrity. So maybe this is her artistic expression and we're just seeing it from a different place that we've never seen. But good for her that, you know.
She's taking a stand, making a statement. Yeah. You know what? I'm here for it. Like, it wasn't one of those dresses where you're like, ew. You know? Like, I've been like that with some before. It was just like, I don't like it. I wouldn't wear it. I don't think she should wear it again. But, like, I'm not like, I didn't hate it. You know what I mean? Like, I just didn't like it. And I don't think it was that flattering. And I just, meh.
Maybe in a different color.
You know what? In black, I actually think it could have been really nice. Yeah, I don't know. But, I mean, pastels and, like, colors and everything were big. I mean, we saw Viola Davis in hot, hot pink. Speaking of pink, Saoirse Ronan wore pink as well. She had a big bow on the back, and I actually loved this dress. I thought it was, like, so on brand with the movie she was nominated for with Lady Bird. And I just love Saoirse so much. She looked so appropriate, like, for her age in this time. I love this. This also had mixed reviews, but I think the bow in the back was spectacular. It, like, gave me Hello Kitty vibes in the best way possible.
I love it.
I loved it.
Oh, no, I think she looks adorable.
Yeah. Did you not like it that much?
It's not that I didn't like it. I think she's definitely had stronger looks this past season. I love her style usually, and every single time I'm like, wow, so cool. Even if it's a dress that I wouldn't have, you know, spotted, like, by myself, or I wouldn't have picked it out of a lineup. She rocks it usually. Not that she didn't rock this, I just wasn't really.
Yeah.
Anything special to me.
Speaking of bows, I feel like bows really were a trend. We had Nicole Kidman wearing a bow, Saoirse wearing a bow, and Maria Menounos had a bow on the front of her dress, and then she wore a bow in her hair as well.
She's so cute.
She had the bow, and she had, like, braids.
And she had, like, the braids.
Yeah. She actually told me a tip that when you have the braids in your hair, in order to not have, like, thick white lines, she uses eyeshadow, the color of her hair.
Yeah.
To fill in those, like, white gaps.
Genius.
Or, like, men's hair color hairspray.
Wow, yeah.
She told me this on her Conversations with Maria radio show, which also is a podcast. Did you guys know that?
No, I didn't.
Conversations with Maria features celebrity and influencer interviews, along with secrets and tips on how to be better in all aspects of life, including hair tips, which are very important, from health to wellness to career, relationships, finances, and more. Let Maria be the big sister you never had. You guys have to check out her podcast. If you go to iTunes and subscribe to Conversations with Maria, it's free, and you can rate it and comment and let Maria know what you think. She really does like feedback. I was on the show with her yesterday, and, like, she gets people calling in, and it's very interactive. People, like, you know, like, listening, and she likes interacting with the audience. But the podcast edition is on iTunes, and you guys should check it out while we're here
talking about it. I need some more tips other than my hair.
Yeah. I will say, like, you can never have enough podcasts, you know? I just, like, cue them up and listen to them when I'm in traffic. Whatever you're doing. Okay, so let's move on to the actual show itself. We have to start by talking about Jimmy Kimmel's opening monologue, which I feel like, for me, was such a win. Like, he hit all the nails on the heads, and he was really under a microscope. This is such a fragile time. And again, another white man hosting one of these award shows. It's a bit tricky for him, and he was, like, kind of walking on thin ice, and all eyes were on him. Expectations were high, and I thought he just absolutely killed it. Like, joke after joke were just hits, and people were laughing, people were responding, and he talked about the things that were important that needed to be talked about, but didn't dwell on them and made it light and, like, airy. And he had a lot of really good bits. I don't know. What do you guys think of his monologue and opening?
I mean, I completely agree. I thought it was perfect. It wasn't too much. And, yeah, you can't not hit on what's big right now, but he just did the perfect amount and made it sort of funny and lighthearted, which was really good.
Yeah. I was listening to a podcast. It was Jordan Peele, and he was saying how he got into comedy, and a big part of that was because, in a way, comedy kind of talked about what was happening, you know, social issues that are happening during the time, and I think Jimmy was able to kind of bring that to light as well. He made it really lighthearted, as we're saying, positive, but he also, you know, his jokes touched upon these social issues that we're still combating in our everyday lives, which I thought was really important. I do wonder how things would have been switched, or if they would have been different, if he was kind of the first comedian up to host, like Seth Meyers was.
Season, yeah. Right. Seth was honestly the hardest
He took job. A blow, definitely. I mean, I don't think he was trying to be insensitive. I just think it was happening when, you know,
it was really fresh.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I do wonder if things would have been different. Not like things have dissipated or people have forgotten, you know, what everyone is still fighting for, but I do wonder.
I think also the people there were more easy to laugh, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, at other award shows, it was kind of like, do I laugh? Do I laugh? Yeah. And everyone was kind of relaxed now
about
it. I think
especially the Globes, because that was just, like, so when the news was really poignant. And, like, I think everyone wearing the all black, and that's kind of all people talked about on the carpet, whereas rather this time it was, like, a little bit more of a mix. And I think that people feel like their voices have been heard, and now they're just going to continue it, but in a bit of a more unspoken fashion. And so I thought Jimmy did a good job. He had some great bits that, like, played out throughout. Like, the jet ski with the Lake Havasu thing was so was funny. Great. Helen Mirren, like, Vanna Whiting, the jet ski was so funny. Also, like, Lake Havasu, of all places, I was cracking
up. You do not want to go there. I had a couple formals there.
I just think, I was just like, it was so funny, the footage that they showed. What they did in the movie theater was amazing.
Okay, the movie theater bit actually went too long for me.
It did?
Yeah, I mean, it was a good idea. I really liked it. Yeah, and then the guy stood up and misread
Mike.
Tiffany Haddish's
Mike,
name.
Tiffany,
Mike.
Oh, yeah.
Tiffany Haddish. Yeah. Haddish. Yeah, that was very funny.
He almost pulled a John Travolta.
He did. Well, Jimmy, I mean, redeemed from last year. He was, like, all embarrassed with the whole mix-up at the end with a La La Land classic mix-up. Yeah, I thought Jimmy did a great job. I liked the movie theater bit. I thought it was really funny. I think I love, like, okay, so obviously those people had to sign some sort of release because they knew they were going to be on camera, but I think it was cool. Like, they probably knew that they were going to, like, be on camera. They didn't expect all of those movie stars to walk in the room at once.
Right. I have a serious question, and maybe you guys know the answer to this, but where do you find a hot dog shooter?
Yeah, that hot dog
because if it's easily accessible, I will be on Amazon Prime tonight.
And does Ansel Elgort come with it?
yeah.
We'll take it.
Appreciate it. He controls it, actually.
Yeah, he comes. Yeah, no, that was a lot of fun. If Armie Hammer and Ansel Elgort come with hot dog cannons, sign me up.
If they come with a hot dog cannon, I will eat a hot dog.
Yes. Oh, yes. No meat over here.
I will get sick.
Statement. That is a big statement.
Yeah, that is a big statement. Armie also had, like, a terrible flu and didn't go to the Spirit Awards the day before. And so I was, like, shocked to see him so colorful. And I think he got an IV or something.
He was kissing his wife on the red carpet. I'm like,
that was making me nervous.
I was like, if that was my husband, I'd be like, wear a mask, please.
Right?
Please. I don't do germs. My gosh. Yeah, so you mentioned Jordan Peele before. So he won Best Original Screenplay for Get Out, and he made history with this award. I think he's the first African-American to win it, and he also is, like, a comedy guy. Like, Key and Peele came out here, and I don't think he expected this movie to be as big as it was. I was really glad that Get Out got the justice it deserved. I mean, we've been hearing for so long, like, this Oscar so white trend, and Tiffany Haddish and Maya Rudolph touched on it in a playful way, but, like, this is really important that he won this award. I think that he was very well-deserving. People love this film and, like, are going just absolutely nuts over it. And
have
I think,
you guys seen it?
Yeah.
I'm afraid of scary movies.
No,
me
too.
Everyone tells me I have to see it.
No, I do not watch scary movies, and it's not really, like, scary.
Yeah, I hadn't seen it because I was nervous that I wasn't going to sleep. Maria, on her show yesterday, was like, she said that she was home alone when she watched it, and she, like, went upstairs with a flashlight underneath her bed after watching it. And she said when she was interviewing Daniel Kaluuya, she's like, I was afraid, like, she's like, when I saw Allison Williams, like, a chill went up my spine. She's like, I can't separate them from their characters right now because I just watched it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Funny. I actually, admittedly, I have to admit this, I watched this at work because we had the screener for it. So I had it in, like, a tiny box in, like, the lower right
hand of my screen.
Oh, I watched
things at work all the time.
And, people were, like, hearing it through my earphones. And they're like, what are you doing? And I was like, responding to an email. Like, I don't
research,
know.
Research.
Don't bother me. But it was so good. I loved it. And actually, in the same podcast I was listening to, I listen to these podcasts because otherwise I'll fall asleep in the car while driving to work. But Jordan Peele is saying that midway through writing the movie, he was like, I just can't have anyone direct this other than me.
And he said that he's been writing this movie for years and, like, that he kept being like, no one's going to want this. And then he ended up writing it, and look what happened. Like I said, I don't think he expected it to be as big as it was. I think he made this film and didn't expect to be winning an Oscar for it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think that, but I think that that really opens a door to, like, let comedians into this space more, because I feel like comedians don't always get the respect of, like, the Academy in the same way that, like, a Meryl Streep would. You know what I mean? But, like, there's no reason why people who are creatives, like, just because they're funny doesn't mean that they also can't write important pieces as well.
Right.
So I thought it was cool. Speaking of, we just mentioned her, Tiffany Haddish and Maya Rudolph were unarguably the best presenters of the night. They showed up in their UGG slippers, and Tiffany wore her dress for the third time. She wore it to the, like, girls' trip premiere on SNL and now to the Oscars. I guess she bought it with her own money, and she said, if I buy this dress, it is expensive, and I'm going to get my use out of it.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I do that too. So I love how real she is. And these two, everyone's like, they need to host it together next year. I think they need their own show.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, these two together gave me life. I literally rewound right away and watched that entire bit again because it was so funny.
It was really funny.
The clipboard joke, like, really got me. They were just, and like the UGG slippers, like, it was so relatable. I was like there that night wearing heels on that, and I could hardly feel my feet. I wanted those UGG slippers that they were wearing.
Yeah, I was sitting, actually took a tumble downstairs. I wish I was not wearing heels on it.
Like, oh my God. You know what it made me realize that I need? Like a girls' trip and bridesmaids collab. Because I love both those movies, and I feel like together.
Why do I feel like that's like already in the works and we just don't know about it?
You think? I don't know. That would be amazing. Maybe that's why they presented together. Ooh.
Oh, that would be cool.
Yeah, like maybe that could be like a TV series. I don't know. Like, whoever's watching that's important, sit on that one.
Let us know in the live chat.
Yeah, please. Let us know if you know anyone that can help us out with that, getting that ball rolling. We have to talk about Frances McDormand's speech. I don't even know where to begin. I live for this woman. She is amazing. And, like, her hand gestures and, like, faces.
And her laugh.
And her laugh. And, like, something about her, she's intoxicating. Like, her energy is contagious. And I loved how she, like, had all the female nominees stand up and her call to Meryl to do it so everybody else would.
Yeah,
like,
that was
she
awesome.
Puts her Oscar down on the ground, which, by the way, later that night got stolen. She ended up getting it back.
Yeah.
But,
that was
crazy. I don't know, have y'all seen Three Billboards? Like,
yes.
She is so well-deserving of this award. I saw that movie, and I was like, this is 3 hours of Frances McDormand carrying this and putting, like, her lifeblood, sweat, and tears into this movie. It was her. It was, like, the longest film of just one woman carrying the whole show.
Right.
Definitely.
Because, like, they were all amazing, but it really was her.
I mean, her speech was epic. I think this is her second Oscar win. I could be wrong, but I believe it is. And for me, I think it's so special seeing someone's first Oscar win. They get up there, they're so emotional. But for her, it was different because she took the time to dedicate it to all the other women nominees in every category. I thought it was amazing. She was so funny. She was like, Meryl, if you get out of your seat, everyone else will, which is so
true.
I mean, I would,
And she ended with the, I have two words for you, inclusion rider. And the people that I were watching with were like, she said writer. I was like, no, she said rider. And we were like, all like, what does she say? And we looked it up, and Frances herself spoke on it after at the Vanity Fair party. But, it basically means that actors can put in their contracts that guarantees there'll be racial and gender inclusivity on set and behind the scenes. And I don't think that everybody even knows about that. And I think she was calling to the Meryls of the room, calling to the Sandra Bullocks, the, you know, the Brad Pitts and all these big people who have the ability to make those changes. Because if they're the lead of the movie and they don't want to do it, if there isn't diversity on set, then the movie isn't going to happen. And so she was calling action the people that were there in that room, and it was, like, the perfect space to do that. And I was reading online that, like, other celebrities that have done that in the past, Robin Williams had in his inclusion rider that he wanted homeless people that were out of work to get jobs on his movie sets, and they would have them work in, like, craft services or just different jobs. And so I thought it was really important that she brought that up because those were two words that I'd never heard before.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been working in this industry for a few years now, and I think it's really important that she said it.
Same. I mean, I've never heard it before.
Never
she said,
heard of
all
it,
of us were kind of like, what did she just say? But, I mean, that only goes to show what your power can do. And now everyone knows what that word means. So
true.
Those
I
two like
words.
It. She kind of put the pressure on everyone else there.
She did.
Yeah.
And I think it was important that she did that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I agree. Well, everyone was thinking, what is she going to say? Thank you? Like, I don't.
Right.
I don't even
words,
know.
She, yeah,
two
I didn't know what she was going to say.
And we were like, what are those two words? And she said something that no one had any idea what they meant, but it only caused you to Google it, everyone to look it up. So
it was trending on Twitter.
Yeah.
Like, I think that that's a perfect example of someone using their platform for good. And, like, sure, maybe it was, like, a bit political or it was in good taste, though. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't in, like, I'm going to make this all about me and, like, my opinions and my opinion's the only one that's right. Because sometimes I feel like that's how it comes off when people are just preaching at these award shows. This felt, like, appropriate and timely and tasteful.
Mm-hmm.
So, speaking of all of this, the Time's Up movement did get a spotlight. They had Ashley Judd, Annabella, Selma Hayek, who have all been outspoken about the Harvey Weinstein scandal allegations. They dedicated the Time's Up and Me Too movements. They had like a video, and I thought that it was nice that they did that. And I kind of felt like it like gave it its platform, and then it wasn't like permeated through the whole show. I think everyone knew that that was going to be a bit, and they had it, and it was spoken about, and it was touched on, and it wasn't dwelled on. You know what I mean? And I think if they were going to pick three people to talk about it, those were the three. They gave them their moment, mm-hmm. and their voices were heard.
Right. How do you feel about Emma Stone presenting Best Director?
Greta Gerwig and the all-male nominees. Yeah,
I loved it. I thought it was great.
I think it was a little bit of a plagiarism from Natalie Portman, I will say. But I did like it. Yeah, I mean, I thought...
I would say plagiarism. I would say inspiration.
Inspiration. Sure.
Okay, the award season is kind of almost over. I'm wondering, like, if it's going to be carried into next year.
Yeah.
Like, is this a thing that's going to be...
I think that's a good question. I mean, like, we have Met Gala coming up. Like, is this going to be talked about there? I was wondering if it was going to be talked more about at the Olympics after the whole scandal with Larry Nassar. And I feel like it kind of wasn't, you know? Mm. And so maybe I just, like, wasn't listening to the right interviews. But I didn't feel like any of the athletes really brought it up. Because I hate to say it, but, like, what happens in gymnastics may also happen in other sports, you know?
Definitely.
So I thought it was interesting that it wasn't really addressed there. That's a good point. I don't know how it will play going forward. I mean, the award season is the time that the celebrities have the biggest platforms. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know March 24th is the march with the Parkland School for the anti-gun violence. So I'm sure a lot of celebrities will be there and be very outspoken as they were at, like, the women's marches and whatnot. But I don't know. I think it will be interesting to see how it plays out publicly on a large platform. Like, it wasn't talked about at, like, the Super Bowl. Or, like, what events is it appropriate to bring this up and which ones aren't? And I think it's going to be less vocal, more actions at this point. You know right. what I mean? Like, it's been said. Now mm-hmm. what are we going to do about it? I think that's kind of what Frances McDormand was alluding to. Like, we've talked about this. We all know this is an issue. Mm-hmm. This is the end of award season. Like, here's what you can do about it.
Right.
And so I thought that was kind of maybe her way of saying what you just said.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
In her own bizarro way, which I loved.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. I think, well, it's interesting. If you look back a year ago, last year's award season, I mean, none of this was really brought up.
Harvey Weinstein kind of opened those floodgates.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Which happened in October. Mm-hmm. So I think moving forward, everyone is hyper aware, and I think they're even more so, especially, you know, females in this industry can move forward and know that they have that voice and know that they have the support of, you know, female actresses and influential people behind them where they can make a difference. Like you're saying, actions will speak louder than words, yeah. And I think moving forward, they'll be cognizant of that.
Well, and hopefully one day it won't be brought up anymore because it won't be a thing anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Speaking of Emma Stone's moment, Guillermo del Toro won Best Director for Shape of Water. I personally think Greta Gerwig was robbed for Lady Bird, and she was the only woman in this category, and I'm not saying that's why she should have won. Guillermo's won before. Shape of Water was not my favorite film. Obviously, I was disagreed with because it won. When I was talking to some friends while watching it, I was like, the difference between what I think will win Best Picture versus what I think deserves Best Picture versus what I want to win Best Picture are three different things. Mm-hmm. I thought Shape of Water was going to win. I thought Get Out probably deserved it, but I wanted Three Billboards. Like, it was, like, one of those, like, weird moments where it was kind of up in the air, but right. Guillermo won it. Very deserving. The movie was awesome visually, but thought Greta, it would have been cool if Greta. I think Greta looked a little bummed. When, like, they showed her on camera, she was trying to hide it, but it was like, oh, so yeah. close.
No. Yeah, I mean, she kind of had bad odds there, but
she didn't have the best. I mean, she was up against, I mean, to be nominated
Numbers-wise. But I personally didn't see Shape of Water, so I can't really speak to whether or not I thought it deserved
it. I didn't like it, but
I have to be honest, I haven't seen it, but it doesn't seem like my type of movie.
Okay, here's the thing about it. Like, I think cinematography, special effects, yes, like, that fish creature, very interesting. Anyway, the film itself, I mean, I'm all about a good love story, but if we're going to do a love story, give it to Call Me By Your Name. That movie, I think, got a little bit robbed. Like, it really did. It won Best Adapted Screenplay, which, you know, at least it didn't win nothing. I think Lady Bird literally won nothing, which kind of sucks.
Are you talking about just at the Oscars? Or
just at the Oscars. Yeah. Oscars. Which, yeah, was kind of a bummer because it was such a, like, female-led, with, you know, like the whole cast was like really strong women and the director being a woman writer. So yeah, I was kind of bummed that that got snubbed a bit. But hopefully Greta will come out with something bigger and better next year, because now that she's tapped into that side of her creativity, not just acting, I think the doors, the floodgates are opened now for her.
Well, I think it's also really important that just because they don't win, it doesn't mean that they're not a winner in their own right.
No,
I mean,
yeah, yeah.
Resume. She doesn't need a resume. She's an Oscar nominee.
Can I have a resume? yeah. No. I mean, she was, and she looked amazing as well. Not that that even matters, but I loved her yellow too. She wasn't like the fact that there were two bright yellow dresses. You don't really see that. The last time I think someone wore yellow was Alicia Vikander in that dress that everyone said she looked like Belle. Mm. That was a couple years ago when she won for. The one with Eddie Redmayne, which is escaping me the name of the film right now.
Oh.
I forget.
Danish girl.
Yeah, the Danish girl. Yes.
Thank you, Lauren.
I was going to say English lady. The English lady.
I kind of wanted to touch on, while we were talking about the Me Too movement, a lot of people were... There was a lot of buzz on Twitter about both Gary Oldman and Kobe Bryant winning awards after they had had their own scandals, alleged, true or not true. I don't even know all the details of both of them. But I thought it was interesting. I was talking about this again on Maria's show yesterday. We were... feeling conflicted over whether it's like, are we judging people for their personal lives or are we judging people for the movies that they make? And I think that it's a really fine line here. It's like, if we did thought that they were inappropriate to win, they shouldn't have even been nominated to be considered. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's really hard. Like, do you think all the Academy members, when they get their ballots, sit there and they're like, let me go through each person and Google them and make sure there's no bad news about this person before voting? I just don't think that that's realistic.
I don't think the men... do that.
No, but I don't even know if all the women do either. You know what I mean? When it comes to just like filling out your ballot for votes, I mean, how many of these people are at this point? It's like everyone.
It's fair, but
unfortunately, there's so many names.
So many. Right. Like, but the problem is that they're nominated in the first place.
Yeah,
that's
what I'm saying. Is like it's so tricky because like with Aziz Ansari this year, with everything that happened about him, and he didn't even show up when he was nominated for an award, and that whole scandal we talked about it last time is just it's just such a gray area, and it's. Tricky, and I really don't know where I stand on it. I mean, obviously, I stand with anyone who feels as though that they are a victim of this, regardless of what the allegations came out to be or not. But I know the Kobe Bryant situation is very controversial, and he came out, she said it was rape, and then she said it wasn't, and then he said, if it wasn't consensual, I'm sorry. And so it's such a tricky situation to the point where it's like, oh, that was also a very long time ago, and like, if he's winning an award now over something that was indisputed years and years ago... I don't know how fair that is to attack someone like that at this point. It's so tricky, but I just thought we had to bring it up because it was definitely part of the conversation on Sunday and everyone was talking about it. I don't know. It's definitely a very tricky gray area that I think is, to your point, is going to be continued to be talked about. And I don't know if that will affect things like being nominated in the future. Is a film you make going to have an impact based on your personal life?
Wait, what happened to James Franco? Did he just disappear?
No, I mean, well, that's what's interesting is Disaster Artist kind of got snubbed, and that was because everything that kind of happened with him, I mean, people are saying it's because that was very public, this whole scandal, but it was like, what about Gary Oldman then? You know what I mean?
Right.
Who had like an alleged abuse.
You can't choose if you're going to say one person, then they're all equal.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. So, yeah, it was kind of tricky.
Yeah.
That was for his, was it Dear Basketball, was Kobe, and Gary Oldman was for Darkest Hour. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, we thought Timothy Chalamet should have won for Call Me By Your Name anyway.
Yes, I agree. I think Call Me By Your Name should have won.
Didn't win it. Yeah, it won that one award, but yeah, I was kind of bummed. Supporting actor went to Sam Rockwell from Three Billboards, which was also a controversial win because people did think that his character was a glorified racist. I saw the film. I see why people would think that. But I don't think that that's Sam Rockwell's fault.
Right, but...
because he was playing a character.
Isn't that the whole thing, is to make people believe what they're seeing? So
it was also a timepiece. Like, that was what was happening at that time. That's like saying that Leonardo DiCaprio was a racist in Django Unchained.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, he was. Yeah. He was. That was the role he was playing.
He was portraying a character to prove a point. It's not like he's actually like that in real life.
No.
I think it's so well-deserved. I also listened to a podcast, Sam Rockwell. And he's
awesome.
He was just saying that, you know, he's worked so hard to get here. He's actually a really well-sought-out actor. I know a lot of people until now weren't familiar or as familiar with him, unless you saw Charlie's Angels or who played Eric Knox and saw him dance.
That's my
favorite role, hands down. But I think it was...
my favorite Meryl role is Devil Wears Prada, and I will stand by that to
day. Why wasn't that Oscar nominated?
Yeah. That should be Meryl's most biggest accomplishment.
But yeah, I do really, he deserved it. He did a sweep. He won everything that he was nominated for.
Yeah.
And it was really well deserved. He also put a lot of time and research into that role. He did ride-alongs with cops in Missouri. He tried to copy their accents, their hair. I mean, the amount that he of work that he put into this, it was his heart and soul. It's kind of like Frances McDormand.
Yeah, I mean, Fox Searchlight in general kind of swept with Three Billboards and Shape of Water being two of the biggest winners of the night. Those are both Fox Searchlight productions, so good for them. We have a friend that works for them. Hi, congrats, Becca. Best Supporting Actress went to Allison Janney for I, Tonya, which we've talked about that film, and like it's kind of controversial in terms of like whether or not it was exactly true based on the reality of the situation. But if anyone's going to win from that movie, it was going to be Allison Janney, and she was so good. And she was like a vision in that red dress. I loved it on her. Anna Faris posted the cutest picture of them two together with the Oscar too, because they're on Mom. That's and sweet. I loved that.
She also did a sweep.
Yeah, she did. She did. And we talked about this before. Best Animated Feature went to Coco, which honestly, if you haven't seen it, do yourself a favor and go see it now. Like, stop watching this. Just kidding. After we're done.
Leave. Go.
Yeah, I thought that one was so, so good. And then, like, biggest winner of the night was Best Picture to Shape of Water. I mean, once you see who wins Best Director, I feel like that usually coincides with who's going to win Best Picture.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, once Guillermo won for Best Director, I was like, shoot, I know that they're going to win now for Best Picture, even though I wanted Three Billboards to win. Yeah, I mean, it's a very artistic film, and it's, like, not surprising that the Academy would choose that.
Right, but I think between every award show, you can see how people, which way they'll kind of go, which direction. I feel like for the Oscars, it's a lot more artistic. It's in the editing. It's in, you know, the design of everything. I don't necessarily think the Golden Globes or the SAG Awards is like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right.
I think the Oscars is more about, like, the cinematography.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which I think cinematography went to Blade Runner 2049. I think the best cinematography did go. Yeah, it did go to that. Production design went to Shape of Water. There are some categories that are, like, similar. Mm-hmm. Like, I had to, before the Grammys, when we had to look up the difference between, like, best record, best song, and best album. Sound mixing and sound editing both went to Dunkirk.
Yeah, Dunkirk and editing.
Yeah. So, I was like, is there an echo in here?
It's so
interesting. Yeah, so, like, I heard that, I didn't actually see Dunkirk, but the special effects I heard, like, and the sounds were amazing in that film.
Well,
so.
I kind of knew they weren't going to win in any of the, you know, more major categories. Right. But
still an Oscar-winning film.
That's true.
And Phantom Thread won for costume design, which just seems fitting. but, you know, what I thought was interesting is that the Post didn't really win much. And, like, if you told me before, if I, like, was, you know, not paying attention to anything this award season and had, you told me that Meryl Streep, Tom Hanks, and Steven Spielberg worked on a project together and it was nominated for Oscars, I'd be like, gonna win them all. Sold. Done. Yeah. Done deal. I'd put all my money
Dunkirk.
On it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'd put all my money on it. No one even talked about that movie. Like, I didn't even see it. I didn't even know it was coming out.
Yeah.
Where was I during the Post?
Not happy that they didn't win, but at the same time, I felt like it was someone else's turn. Like,
yeah. It's true. I'll just watch The Devil Wears Prada on repeat. And Forrest Gump if I need either of those.
Her most Oscar-winning performance.
Honestly, it's underrated. I will say that much.
That's all.
Yeah, that's all for us. No, I'm just kidding. Well, I mean, the Oscars this year were great. I think the show, again, a bit long, but they paid it off with the jet ski at the end. I think it was with Mark was the name of the guy who had the shortest speech. And he was so cute. He, like, held his I was watching, and when he won, I forget what it was for, he had his, like, envelope with his name, and he was just, like, holding it with the Oscar the whole time during his speech, and it was short and sweet and to the point. So he won the jet ski with Helen Mirren.
They rolled out.
So funny. Such a great way to end the show. I hope they bring Jimmy back again, kind of like how they brought Tina and Amy three times for the Globes. Mm-hmm. Let's do three times for Jimmy.
I love Jimmy, but I want Tiffany Haddish to host it.
Tiffany Haddish will not be hosting.
Really?
She's hosting the MTV Movie Awards, I think, this summer.
I could deal with that.
Yeah, so I think that will be great.
Don't you think she will be, like, a little too much
for
Oscars?
I don't, yeah. No. I mean, I do want a woman, because I think the only woman the only woman that I think that I can remember that's hosted the Oscars is Ellen.
Yes.
I can't think of anyone else. And I'd love Ellen to do it again, but, like, I want, like, you know, they had Kristen Bell host the SAG Awards. Like, I want someone like that, like a strong female, to get up there and do it. And it doesn't really happen that much. And I was kind of surprised that this year of all years that didn't happen. So maybe it will carry in through next year and we'll see some of that. Because I would rather that, you know, mix it up.
Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah, I think that would be cool. Comment below if you have suggestions, and I'll make sure the Academy knows.
She is the Academy, actually.
Yeah, you guys, I'm a big voter. No, not hardly. But if anyone wants to continue the Oscars conversation with you, where can they find you on social media?
You can find me at Lauren T. Pacheco.
And you can slide into my DMs at Liza.Rubin.
Please don't slide into my DMs. But you can find me everywhere at Danny Golub. It has been so fun this award season with y'all. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. We'll be back, and we'll be talking about more live TV events. We got Billboard Awards coming up. We have Met Gala. We'll be here back soon. See you guys next time.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.